And now, from one of America's top four hospitals, it's Talking About Your Health with specialists from Cleveland Clinic. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
Approximately 50% of adults experience occasional bouts of insomnia, and 1 in 10 complain of chronic insomnia. My guest is Dr. Katen Dioris. He's an associate staff physician with the Department of Psychiatry and Psychology in Cleveland Clinic Sleep Disorder Center in the Neurologic Institute. Welcome to the show, Dr. Dioris. Tell us, what is insomnia?
Insomnia we just define as difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, or difficulties with consolidating sleep throughout the night, so very fragmented sleep, and then having effects on daytime functioning. But that's kind of the simplest definition of insomnia that we use.
Dr. Dioris, I know that many people suffer from insomnia. What are the risk factors and the causes? Are there certain things that would predispose us to not getting that night's sleep?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So there are, we find, when the studies have been done, they typically find that women report insomnia more, and they don't know if that's just because they report it more or they're actually having it more. One thing that we typically see in the clinic is often patients have had a trigger, some sort of stressor that leads to the onset of insomnia. So that can be anything from a change in their work responsibilities, loss of a loved one, divorce. But that trigger, unfortunately, can kind of turn into a long-term chronic insomnia problem. And then the other studies have shown that risk factors for insomnia also include kind of a lot of the mood disorders, so depression, anxiety, and also kind of lower socioeconomic classes have a higher incidence of insomnia as well.
How do you know when it gets bad enough that you would come to see a doctor such as yourself? What would send us to see you?
So the most common reason that people come in to see us is that they've noticed that it's really affecting their daytime functioning. You know, you mentioned that up to, 10% have chronic insomnia. When it starts interfering with the ability to function at work or having cognitive effects like concentration and memory issues, or even just in social interactions with loved ones or coworkers, most of the time that's kind of the initiating factor for a lot of people to say, okay, this is not just a problem with my sleep, it's now kind of spilling over into these other spheres of life, and maybe I need to get this evaluated more thoroughly.
When you do the evaluation, you know, people have heard of sleep studies, Dr. Dioris. Is that always what's involved?
Usually not, in fact, for just pure insomnia. So one of the main things that we do in a sleep evaluation is we're also looking for other medical issues or other sleep disorders that could be causing the insomnia or exacerbating it. If we come out of that initial kind of evaluation or assessment and feel that it's just an insomnia on its own, there's not much utility in doing a sleep study for that by itself, because most of the time people just kind of stay up for most of the night, and all the sleep study shows us is that the person had difficulty sleeping, which we already kind of knew because that's where they came in to begin with. So we're really looking if there's something more kind of comorbid along with the insomnia to prompt that sleep study.
Dr. Dioris, once you have determined that someone has chronic insomnia, what do you do for them and what are the treatments for insomnia?
So following an evaluation where we've talked about the risk factors and we've determined that they do have chronic insomnia, I usually will talk with patients about kind of two types of treatments that we use for it. One, what I sometimes refer to the medication route, the other we'll talk about being the meditation route. Medications consist of over-the-counter sleep aids as well as prescription medications, including what we call sedative hypnotics, and then things like antidepressants or other medications that will sometimes use the sedating effects more to try to treat the insomnia. For the cognitive behavioral therapies, we talk about different modalities within the same framework to try to deal with insomnia. So, for example, we'll focus on relaxation methods, and that can be anything from deep breathing exercises to yoga to just exercising earlier in the day. We advise patients not to exercise at least 2 to 3 hours before their desired bedtime. And then we also focus on their thought patterns about sleep, and that's really where the cognitive behavioral therapy comes in. We talk about what is causing their anxiety regarding falling asleep or staying asleep, and try to see how some of those thought patterns might be able to be corrected. And then lastly, we really also will look at things like sleep restriction, where we'll actually try to taper the sleep hours to what patients describe that they're actually sleeping throughout the night. We find in insomnia that patients will spend a lot of time in bed awake, and that's actually detrimental in the long run.
With patients that tell you that about their symptoms, Dr. Dioris, what do you recommend that they do at home if they're suffering from a bout of insomnia? And, you know, do you recommend, you just said that they lie in bed awake. Do you recommend that people lie there for 20 minutes and then get up walking around, that they make sure it's dark? Give us some sort of complementary treatments that people can do at home to help them get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, so you just brought up a great point. Lying in bed for about 20 minutes, and then if you can't fall asleep, getting up and doing something else is what we call stimulus control. And that's also a part of cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. The reason we recommend that is the longer the patients lay awake in bed, the more their brains are making this association that the bed's not a place they quickly fall asleep. So we don't want patients looking at the clock because that just tends to foster anxiety. But we tell them when it feels like it's been 20 minutes, a half hour, to get up out of bed and go do something somewhere else so that your brain isn't developing this association. We also tell patients not to watch TV in bed, not to use electronics in bed. They can do all those things, but just not while they're in bed. Again, it goes back to trying not to have an association that the bed is with all these other activities. We really just want to confine it as much as possible to sleep so that it kind of gets ingrained in.
So what about melatonin and some of the things that people are seeing on the market, you know, and they're over the counter and they're not sure if they should be taking these to relax us? What about those kinds of things?
Yeah, so often by the time patients have come to me, they've already tried things like melatonin, valerian, kava kava, all these kind of natural supplements. And so my perspective might be a little biased because by the time they're coming to see me, it's typically when things haven't worked for them. In the studies, melatonin hasn't been shown to be particularly effective or ineffective. There's just not a whole lot of supporting data for it. But that being said, I talk with my patients all the time about if they feel like they're getting some benefit, to go ahead and continue taking things like melatonin. The nice thing about medications or melatonin over-the-counter supplements is that they're really complemented well by these cognitive behavioral therapies so that they don't have to be mutually exclusive, and they can use both things together, kind of medications or supplements, as well as the behavioral techniques that are taught in cognitive behavioral therapy.
Dr. Dioris, in the last minute or so, please wrap up for us getting a good night's sleep, the treatments for insomnia, your best advice for insomniacs out there.
I think the best advice is to, like I said, I work on sleep hygiene as much as possible. So that entails trying to set regular sleep and wake times. Not using the electronics in bed, not laying in bed awake for too long. And then if it's come to a point where you've tried relaxation methods such as yoga or deep breathing and supplements as well, and you're not really noticing any benefit, then it's really the opportunity to go and discuss this further with a sleep specialist to see maybe is there some other medical or sleep disorder that might be contributing that's being overlooked. Or to just get kind of more guided individual treatment to help.
Thank you so much, Dr. Katen Dioris. You're listening to Talking About Your Health with Cleveland Clinic. For more information, you can go to clevelandclinic.org/sleep. That's clevelandclinic.org/sleep. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.